6 o'clock. So I'm gonna have to wing it, Charles. Okay. Like I haven't done that before, right? Yeah, I found out at 6 o'clock last night. He said there's something on the machine. I was visiting a neighbor of mine. So I get home and I check my answer machine. It's nice being near the water, but I'd never do it. Yeah.
Florida is beautiful.
Yep.
It's beautiful down there.
Yeah.
You stand that chance?
Yep. It's going to happen. You know it. That's how I feel.
I will sing of his mercies.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Beautiful weather out here.
I will shout his praise.
This is the service of the preachers out here.
Oh.
I will offer my all.
I could do it from out here. Look at that.
To the ancient of days.
I will raise his banner. I will lift up his name.
The Lord God Almighty. His glory.
Yeah, I found out last night at 6 o'clock.
I will enter his gates.
Interesting.
With a thankful heart.
Yeah, that wipes you out. Yeah, that'll wipe you out.
My gracious Redeemer.
Yeah, thanks.
How great thou art.
I've come to worship you, Lord. And that's what we've all come to do this morning, and to be together with our church family. So please stand and join us together in worshiping our Lord.
Our shield and
So we had to make a quick switch in plans late last night. So thankfully, Bob has agreed to help lead our service today. So let's welcome him here with us today.
Testing. You can hear me? Okay, great. So, yeah, I got a message from Pastor Tom last night around 6 o'clock on my answer machine to check my computer, my Facebook account. So I get on my Facebook account, and he's like, Bob, I'm sick. Can you do the service tomorrow? And I'm like, whoa. So it's kind of ironic. I was at a friend's house who's sick also, and yesterday I went up to talk to him, and he's like, be careful, don't get too close to me, I'm sick. And I'm thinking, it's funny, this is about friendship today. And do you walk away from a friend that's sick, or do you go talk to him? I chose to talk to him for about an hour, and I get home, and I find that Pastor Tom's also sick. So this should be interesting, to say the least. But one thing he wanted me to do before I get started is to take attendance. So if you're not here, please raise your hand, and I'll get that out of the way. Oh, we have one person that's not here. Okay, good. So let's go to God in prayer and pray about the service that he is glorified in all of this. In Jesus' name, we thank you for showing up whenever we need you. We thank you for being not only our Father, but our friend. We thank you for allowing us to do your work. What an exciting adventure it is. We thank you that we're not just servants, but we're also heirs to the kingdom of heaven. What an amazing blessing. We thank you for the beautiful weather outside, and we pray for this service, that you'll be glorified, that we take ourselves off that pedestal and put you back on that pedestal where you belong. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the scripture today they sent me is John 15, 9 through 17. And what a beautiful couple verses. This is really neat. And this could go a lot of different ways. And what I'm going to do later on in the service is I'm going to ask for testimonies, and we're going to do joys and concerns. So as you're sitting there, I want you to keep in the back of your mind, if you feel brave enough to come up and share a testimony, that'd be greatly appreciated. Because whether you believe it or not, we're all put here together to help each other out. And that's kind of what the scripture will talk about too. Just like Steve talking about Moldova last weekend, last Sunday, I was blessed to hear that story. Like, he's an amazing, gifted musician and a speaker. And God's given all of us these gifts to share, and we need to put them out there a little bit. But here's the scripture Pastor Tom gave me. As the Father has loved me, so has I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And so you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my Father's name will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
Thank you, Bob. So let's stand again and continue in our worship as we sing the song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
lovely singing. I really enjoy getting up Sunday morning and hearing the voices. And then when I hear the voices, I think, wouldn't it be neat if we could hear all the voices of all the people that were ever in here singing, lifting up his name? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just imagine when we get to heaven, when we hear those hundreds of thousands of people singing praise, what that's going to be like. So we'll get to hear it. It's going to be amazing. But today's scripture, fascinating. There's so much you could get from this. I'm one of them guys that could take like one verse and make it a book. So when they give me a couple different verses, my mind just goes crazy. So I might miss some of the topics on this. But the most important thing is friendship. And I'm thinking, maybe I could tell some stories about my childhood and my friends. And I thought, well, maybe that's not a good idea. I was one of those kids that I guess you could call adventurous. I can talk about my days playing sports. It was just an amazing blessing that God gave me the gift to play basketball and run cross country and track. It kept me out of trouble for a little bit. And then as I got older, I went into military, and anybody that's been in the military, there's quite a few here, the friendships you acquire in the military will probably stay with you the rest of your life. And I'm in touch with probably 80 out of the 160 people I served with in the 82nd Airborne Division. And sometimes that's difficult when you stay in touch with these people. I just got some message last week that my best friend passed away of cancer. I didn't even know he had cancer. And me and Tony traveled Europe together. We lived in Italy, and we shared the same room in Vicenza, Italy. And when they told me that, I was devastated, even though that was 40 years ago that I joined the military. So that just goes to show you how long friendships can last. I'd like to hear later on in the service about your friendships. But I'd also like to talk about my best friend. Maybe talk a little bit about my best friend here on earth. My wife and I have been married for 35 years. Yeah, thanks. And you're probably wondering, how did she put up with you? And I don't have an answer for that, so. It hasn't been easy. And I don't have the time to go into my testimony. I'm more interested in hearing some of your stories, but it hasn't been easy for us, but we survived, and we will continue to survive with God's grace. But I want to talk about my best friend in heaven. The best friend that's everywhere, it's Jesus. I remember as a little kid going to the Brethren Church. That's where my parents went. And I remember being a little kid going into nursery. I can remember back then going in and these wonderful people giving me treats. Like, this is great. You go to church and you get treats, cookies and ice cream and whatever you wanted. And I heard about this guy, Jesus, and I'm thinking, this is a great myth, but it's fascinating. So I listened and listened and listened, but as time went on, I found out that this wasn't a myth, it was a real person. I also found out that I needed him. And it's funny, a few Thanksgivings ago, I was driving the van, the church van, and we left the guy off at a home, and I told him as he left, I said, please come back again. Visit our church anytime you want. And I told him as he left that I need him more than anybody in the church. And you should have seen the look I got from Pastor Tom, that I'm telling this guy that I need Jesus more than anybody in here. And I believe that. There's been some rough patches in my life, and I'm sure there's some in yours. But it's amazing. You can walk away. It's our choice. You can walk away. But you know what? When you go back, he's right there. And what's really amazing, those tough times I told you about, the times I needed him the most, that's the time that's so real. When I hear people going through tough times, I get excited. I'm kind of different than everybody else, because I know that's when you can get as close as you want. It's our choice. But maybe we have to be in that tough situation before we actually reach out. There was times when in my life When I'm in my 40s, I'm thinking, man, I need a tough time. I need a tough time so I can get close again. But you don't actually need a tough time. He's there. And sometimes when I wish for those tough times, they're a little tougher than I wanted. But I learned every time through those experiences. But the greatest friend. It's funny, when Pastor Tom called me last night, I'm thinking, this is kind of crazy even for me. But I've been through situations where I've been put on the spot before, here at church too. I was sharing a story earlier about the Pocono Plateau, and I was a counselor there for 5 years, and I was older than all the counselors. I could have been their parent. And we're sitting around having this meeting. The week's almost over, and we're not connecting with these kids. It just doesn't feel like we're getting anywhere. It feels like we're wasting our time, and it feels like these kids aren't going to learn what we want them to learn. They're not going to get the experience they're up there for. And I remember more than once I said, let's just keep doing what we're doing and pray. And they all looked at me like, you're crazy. You're the crazy old guy. But we really didn't have a choice. What else can you do when you're in a jam? You can do all this stuff in your head where you try and figure it out. Good luck. Let me know how that works out. So we would just pray and go about our, whatever we were doing. And it was amazing how when you give up, step out of the way, that's when God shows up. I wish I had a quarter for every time I've been through that. There was one time here at church, Joan Bellamy was here, my wife was here, and I can't think who else was out there with us out in the parking lot, and this man comes up in a truck and he's crying. It's between services, and I'm thinking, what in the world is this about? So I stay back. I'm an introvert, so I'm going to stay back every time. And of course, the women are like, you need to talk to this guy. So great. I'm the guy I'm supposed to go talk to him. No preparation, just like now. I go over and talk to the guy, and I ask him what the problem is. And he's like, I died on the operating table, I think 4 or 5 times. And he wondered why he's still here. I said, I know why you're still here. God's not done with you yet. You have a mission. There's a reason you're still here. Wouldn't you like to come into the second service? Here I find out he's homeless, and I'm thinking, it's just when Pastor Jim took over, and I'm thinking, I'm going to bring this homeless guy in. They tell you to do that, but in the back of my mind, I'm wondering if he's ready for this or not. So I bring this homeless guy in, sat with him through the second service, find out he needs all kind of financial help. And at the time, there was a lady here, Bev. She had an open apartment. We stuck him in the apartment. We gave him money. We paid his bills. We helped him get a job. And it's just amazing how God worked. Only because we allowed ourselves to be this vessel. No preparation. Please don't give me any credit. It's just I learned to, if God gives you an opportunity, take it. I feel like I'm the least qualified person in this room. But I know how God works. And he can use every one of you. So that was another story. Another one I shared before. I'm one of those guys that have to do something 24 hours a day unless I'm sleeping. And I was working a lot of hours at work. And we had a chicken barbecue for the church, a fundraiser. And we also had a hot dog giveaway that same Saturday. And I promised Mary Catherine I'd go to the hot dog giveaway. So anybody burns the candle from both ends learns that once you slow down, your body's just going to shut down and take that rest because you've been neglecting it. So that's how I felt Saturday morning when I woke up. So I get up, I go to the chicken barbecue, and my body just wants to sleep, which I don't nap. You can ask my wife. I haven't taken a nap since I was 30. So I go to the chicken barbecue. I stumble my way through that. The chicken barbecue's over, and everybody's excited. They're done. They're going home, most of them. And I remembered I got to go up to the chicken barbecue. So I'm walking. I parked out in the lower lot out here, and I'm walking up to the chicken barbecue, dragging. I'm tired. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. I share this story for two reasons. It shows you what God can do, but it also, I love telling on myself. I don't want you to ever think that I'm this perfect person that can walk on water. I'm a sinner. So I get up here, and the first thing Mary Catherine says, I'm glad you're here. There's somebody that wants to talk to somebody from the church. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's all these people. making hot dogs and french fries, which are great. That's another question I have. Why does it always taste better when somebody else makes a hot dog? So I get up here. I'm telling you, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home and curl up in a ball. I can't nap, but I can sit still for a while. And I get up there, and this guy says, so you're the one that they sent to talk to me. And he starts filling my life with all kind of positive things. Like, he was there for me, to fill me. And I thought he was going to be one of these people that wanted information, you know, how the services work here, can we get financial help, food, whatever. And he's telling me, like, I'm glad you're doing this. And he's asking me what kind of training I'm taking in a church. And I told him about the Christ Servant Ministry program and how I was involved with the youth. And he's like saying, that's great. Well, I walked away from there, from that talking to that guy for quite a while. I felt so guilty. I wanted to cry, man. I'm not a crier. I felt so guilty that I just kind of told God that I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be there. And he did it for me. What I'm saying is keep those opportunities open and don't be surprised when God speaks through other people, even non-Christians. It's funny, a friend of mine from work called last night. We were talking about this way before I even found out I was going to do the service today. And he's like, is it possible that non-Christians can help you financially or whatever? And I'm like, absolutely. There's times in my life where I needed somebody, anybody. I was looking for help. I was down and out. There was times I didn't have two pennies to rub together. Somebody gave me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If you don't ever know what that's like, I hope you never experience that, but that's going to be your friend. Somebody gave you that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But I look back and I realize God put all these people in my life. All along the way, there was always somebody there, Christian or non-Christian, to help me out. That's how much He loves us. I've been reading a book about heaven, why, I have no idea. I love Christian books. You want to spend time with God? Pray. Read your Bible. Get a book that pertains to the Bible. This one from heaven's amazing. The pastor lived 150 years ago, and this guy Alcorn's rewriting some of his sermons, explaining to us, because the 150-year-old English, we wouldn't understand. He's from England. And it talks about our friendships here. It talks about friendships in the afterlife. We're going to still continue that. We may see a lot of each other in heaven. And that's exciting to me. This guy claims that we're going to keep some of the same personalities. We're going to be better. We're going to be sinless, which is really cool. We won't have those distractions. Pretty amazing. I have a gift of discernment too, where I have the ability to discern spirits from people, good or bad. I've also learned to hear God's voice, not like I'm talking to you. It's just internally. I know when He wants me to do something, and I think a lot of us know when He wants us to do something. One of the earliest ways I figured this out is He'll put somebody in front of you, and for some reason you'll be attracted to that person, and you want to be around them. Maybe they're a little eccentric or something. There's something that draws you towards that person. It's love. And it's Jesus' love, God's love, that's in this scripture. If we have that love, we're going to pass it on. Also reading the Bible, just taking time to read the Bible. It's amazing how I could read the same scripture 100 times and I get something different out of it. Praying, it doesn't have to be fancy. I remember times when I was down on my luck, when times were really tough, and I didn't feel like praying, and I didn't want to tell anybody. I was ashamed of my drug and alcohol situation at a very young age. I didn't want to share that. I thought I could kick it on my own. The only thing I could pray is one word. And it was Jesus. It sounds simple, but if you ever get there, and I'm sure some of you have been there, if you haven't been there, you might get there to where you can't pray no more, and you feel like other people aren't helping you at all. That one word, Jesus, over and over again, like all day long, just saying his name, bless me so much, and that's all I could get out. I was even angry at him. And when I shared that the first time at this church in one of the Sunday school classes, adult Sunday school classes, how I was so mad at God, everyone, oh, like, I get mad at him. I don't understand. I get frustrated just like everybody else with that one word, Jesus. What a powerful name. And now he's saying in this message that we're not supposed to feel like servants. We're a friend. Are you kidding me? What an amazing friend. And we take him for granted. I take him for granted sometimes. I'm one of those thinkers. I'm trying to figure everything out. How do I do it financially? How do I retire? Whatever. Constantly thinking. I've always found out, like, when you give that problem over to him, it's going to turn out so much better. It's not going to be how you think it's going to turn out. I told somebody at work that none of my plans ever worked out in my whole life. None. I wanted to own a bar. It's a good thing that didn't happen. I was already an alcoholic by the time I was a teenager. It's funny. None of my plans worked out. I wanted to be an athlete. It didn't work out. I went in the 82nd and got to run and do some crazy stuff that kind of fulfilled that need. None of my plans worked out. But you know what? When I look back through my life, none of that stuff matters, man. None of that stuff matters at all. None. You know what sticks out in my mind? It's the times that God allowed me to do something for him. Time at Pocono Plateau, working with the youth here for 12 years. Prison ministry. I'm claustrophobic. To sign up for something like that is just insane. When you go in, they have a door that shuts behind you, and door it shuts in front of you. You're in there until they can open the next door and you can go into the next place. That's the fun stuff. That's the stuff that matters. And when you get to heaven, that's all it's going to matter too. He's not going to care about your $500,000 house and your $100,000 Porsche. All that's going to rot away, flood away, burn away. We have the greatest friend. So if anybody feels brave enough, I'd really like to hear your story. I've shared mine numerous times. I'd really like to hear somebody else's. How Jesus has been your friend in life. Maybe you need a friend now. Maybe you need him now. Maybe you need prayer now. It's really neat when you get to a point where you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn. That's when God takes over. And if you're there, if you need prayer, just come on up. He's real. I have 100 stories I could tell you. I've seen people healed that I knew personally. Sure. I've seen people that had mental health issues that just crumbled. Turned everything over to God. This guy that I know, this God, like Tom, your son-in-law, texted me a couple weeks ago and was telling me about an issue, someone that didn't believe God could still do this or that. And I asked him a question. I said, how big is your God? And he liked that. How big's your God? Oh, God can't heal. That's something that happened in the Bible days. You're wrong. There was a custodian where I went to school who walked hunched over like this. I knew him well. He was my neighbor. I mowed his yard. He was a little old man. He used to pick us up for church, as a matter of fact. When my parents got divorced, this older guy came to pick us up at church. And we lived on South 2nd Street in Wrightsville, and the church was two blocks away. I could have walked there faster than this older guy could have drove his car there. But one day, at church, he asked to be prayed for, that he was in so much pain and couldn't walk right. He was bent over. So they asked people in the congregation. I'm like 13 at the time, and I'm a troublemaker, I'm telling you. They said, if anybody wants to see a miracle, please come up front. But he also said, if you don't believe, don't come up. We don't need your disbelief up here. So I'm a teenager thinking, I believe, but I'm a troublemaker. I went up anyway. And I kind of apologized in my mind to this guy that he might not get healed because I'm coming up there. So I go up, and this guy's healed. I got to see him live out his life walking straight. So don't tell me God doesn't still do miracles. I remember a time not too many years ago, I got a call. Your sister's in the hospital. She's a brittle diabetic. Her machine went haywire. It didn't give her insulin when she was supposed to. She's in ICU, Lancaster General. She's not going to make it. We called your mom. Your mom lives in Indiana. She's taking the first flight in. You need to get down to the hospital. We're all going to meet down there. We go down there and see my sister, who's 6 years younger than me, laying in a bed. I didn't know what to do. I'm the big brother. I'm supposed to fix things. I know this God that can do miracles. I know him. Is he going to do it? I don't know. So we go in there, and they tell my mom that since she's power of attorney, they want her to pull the plug on the machine because there's no way your sister's going to live through this. Her organs are already shutting down one by one. She's in a coma. And my mom's like, I can't do that. It's my daughter. I said, Mom, if you can't do it, I can. I know where my sister's going. My sister loves the Lord. I knew for sure she was going to heaven. I have no problem. Give me the power of attorney. I'll unplug it. So we go in there and we start praying for her. That might have been 20 years ago. I can call her on the phone. Shouldn't be here. We asked the doctor, what's her chances of survival? He says, I don't talk about that. And that's when he started telling us to get your affairs in order, blah, blah, blah. I wish I could find that doctor today and say, here's my sister. So, yeah, don't tell me God doesn't still heal. Don't tell me doesn't still want people to come into his kingdom. Don't tell me that he's still not looking for a friend, like this scripture is saying. He's alive and well. Turn the TV off. Turn the news off. God has a plan. He knows how this is going to work out. It's all in the Bible. Sorry. So, you want prayer or you want to share something?
Share something.
Okay. Okay. Here, I'll get you this one. Is this on?
That's good.
Is it on?
Yep.
Okay. Just talking about friends and God putting you in the right place. So, of course, everybody knows what Charlie's going through. And, of course, we've had tons and tons of friends. And but even though he's going through a hard time, sometimes God can use him, and he did. Charlie was going through radiation, and there was another guy there that was going through prostate cancer. Charlie had gone through prostate cancer, of course, 5 years ago, beat that. But the guy was very ready to give up. He thought, you know, I can't handle this. I can't do this. And Charlie started talking to him. And the last week, the difference in this guy, and that he was fighting at that point then, that he put, you know, Charlie was there, and he used Charlie to show this guy that he's there and that he could, you know, make it through this too. I mean, I met the guy then when Charlie got the bell and you know, said some good wishes to Charlie, but I mean, just Charlie's attitude with this and his belief and the way God used him to help this other guy get through his. So.
Thank you. Anybody else feel brave? Don't make me call you out. stay seated. It's okay.
I've been blessed throughout my life. My father, I attribute my faith to. He was an uneducated person, but he believed in God, and he instilled that in me. And I remember every Saturday night, as far as I can remember, we'd lay out our clothing. We knew what was going to happen Sunday morning. We're going to Sunday school and church. And this continued until I went to college. And I think as I look around here and see the age of the people, some younger and some older than I think, where are young people? And I think the responsibility lies with the parents, and they aren't doing their jobs. When I moved to Columbia in 72, there were three Methodist churches. And somewhere along the line, the three merged to one, and we're here today. And I feel it's a shame that more people don't go to church. And whenever I get a chance, I ask somebody to go to church, and sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. But I feel that I've been blessed in many ways, and I was looking for a church, and I feel blessed that I found this place. The people have been very warm and have taken me in. And after 60 years, I decided I wanted to take a piano lesson. I hadn't had one since college. And I found out that Melody did that. And I asked her if she'd take on another student, and she said yes. And she's been such a blessing. And I feel she's such a blessing to the ministry that's here today. And I appreciate her patience. Oh, and she has a birthday this week. I forgot to say that. I just feel so blessed. And I've come near death a few times in my life. And I remember I took a scuba diving class in college. We had to take a swimming class. And I went with a friend down to a bay, New Jersey. And we were going to dive. And we dove together. And it's different in a bay because you can't see in front of you, and you're always supposed to have a partner. And I had some mechanical problems with the equipment, and I went to the surface, and I remember going down for the third time. And I said, Lord, if this is the time, I'm ready. And arms reached out of a boat and pulled me out. I'll never forget it. I'm dealing with a few problems right now, and I know all of us have those, but my younger daughter almost died a few months ago in the Atlantic Ocean. She was swimming, and she was just laying on her back for a while, and all of a sudden a riptide caught her. And even though she was a good swimmer, you can't compete with a riptide. So my older daughter was on the shore with a baby and her fiance, and he saw her and went in after her, and he got caught in it too. And my older daughter told me she could see the time was getting near, and my younger daughter and my daughter's fiance were within a few seconds of death. And a 51-year-old mother and her 15-year-old son appeared out of nowhere on surfboards and saved them. So I believe in angels on surfboards. I just feel so blessed by the people that surround me. And I think it's important for all of us to encourage people to live a good life and come here and worship with us, and I would encourage you to ask people to come as well. Thank you.
Wow. Anybody else for a quick one? John?
I'd like to tell a war story. I remember this, I still remember this today, and I just remember how God worked this to our advantage. I was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii, assistant fire chief, and this day I came on duty, we were expecting a hurricane to hit us, and Hurricane Eva. That hurricane came in, and during the day, we were getting all kinds of calls. And one of the calls I remember very vividly was we went to 19th Way for a wires burning. And we got there, really wasn't nothing we could do. Sure, the wires were burning, but the power went off, and that took care of that. But anyhow, on our return, the winds were starting to get pretty bad. Above 80 mile an hour, we were not allowed to respond anymore. So it's getting close. They're about 60, 70 mile an hour winds. And it's coming up 19th Street, and all of a sudden the tones hit. There are three tones, and that meant a rescue call. And the rescue truck was right behind me. And at that time, the rescue call was cardiac arrest and gave us the street name and the house number. I said, we're right at the house. We're right here. The rescue crew hopped out of the truck, and they were American Heart certified, so they could push drugs, they could do CPR, they had a life pack, they had everything they needed to revive a person. They got in the house, the guy was in cardiac arrest, revived him, got him in an ambulance, got him to Tripler Army Medical Center, and he survived. Miracle. God's help. Amen. I'll never forget that. Wow.
You guys are getting me choked up. Anybody else want to share joy or concern? If not, I'll hand it over to Melody to play.
Yeah, I think Audrey had something she wanted to share.
Oh, Audrey has something?
Sorry,
Audrey, I didn't see you back there. She's going to get me back for this. She's saying, yes, I am. Hey, thanks for that.
Actually, I don't need a microphone. I'm loud to begin with. But I thank God what you preached about today was something that I needed to hear. So I want to thank you for that. And there's people here in this church that have really helped me, because I'm by myself right now, and sometimes it's a little hard to be by yourself and to think and to live the way you're supposed to do. But I find out one thing. It's like I've heard preachers say, I have God because I can get up in the morning, I can walk, I can do the things that you have to have done today. And at my age, I could not have that. I mean, as old as I am, I could be in a nursing home. But God has helped me the whole way that I could walk, and I got very good friends at my senior center. We all love the Lord, and we talk about it. I don't see too many other people but them or you guys. But, I mean, God is still alive. No matter which way you look at it, he's still there. And we should stop tricking around trying not to treat him. But we need to pay for our United States, not for peace, but for that they can get God back into their hearts and back in, because that's where we need to be, or our United States is not going to be. I don't know how you look at it. That's how I personally look at it, because I look around and see everything that's happening. It could happen to any of us. But we need God in our country. We need it in our churches. We need it in any place, school and all, because we don't start putting him first. Because all he wants is us to love him. Amen. That's all he wants. That's how I feel. But I thank you for what you did preach, because sometimes that helps my thinking. I'm not too smart, but it does.
You're such a blessing. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I met you.
I'm glad
and you're one of my friends.
I love this next song. It's called Holy Spirit Rain Down. We've been doing it several weeks in a row. Please stand. I love the words to this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can know what God has in store. And that's for each of us individually and as a church. So please join together as we sing Holy Spirit Rain Down. How we call each other. Let's be the church. Let's be the family that God wants us to be.
As you leave today, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, if you were lost this whole time, you don't understand who this Jesus is, you don't have a clue, that's fine. In the scripture, it talked about how he gave his life for us. If you don't know what that's about, if you think you want to know more, please see me after the service. I don't want you to miss out. Such a moving service, the testimonies. I really appreciate that. It takes a lot to choke me up. But when we share something so powerful, something so real, and I experience other people feeling the same thing, God has a chance to move amongst us. Not only is it important to be friends amongst each other, it's important to get out and meet other people and share what we know. There's no hope. The only hope we have is in Jesus. I don't care what the world's trying to sell you. There's only one hope. And as you leave today, I want you to take Jesus with you if you don't have him already. Take him with you. He wants to be your friend. And sometimes I'm the guy talking all the time to God, and sometimes he wants you to listen to him, so take that time to listen to him also. So, gracious Heavenly Father, as we leave today, I pray for each and every person here that they will be touched this week in a certain way like they've never been touched before. I pray that they have the opportunity to share what they know, to share the truth, to share the hope. It's all about you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.